Okay, I'm going to skip ahead to the next order of business for parents in torturing their children if they are fascists. First, there was this matter of willfulness, and the second matter, he says, is that one must dedicate oneself to, in the second and third year, is a strict obedience to parents and superiors, and a trusting acceptance of all they do. These qualities are not only absolute, so after you beat them into not having any will of their own, then you beat them into doing what they're told. This is the lesson plan for the fascist or the totalitarian, if you prefer. All right, continuing after a short skip ahead here. Thus, after one has driven out willfulness as a result of one's first labors with children, the chief goal of one's further labors must be obedience. It is not very easy, however, to implant obedience in children. It's quite natural for the child's soul to want to have a will of its own, and things that are not done correctly in the first 2 years will be difficult to rectify thereafter. One of the advantages of these early years is that then force and compulsion can be used. Over the years, children forget everything that happened to them in early childhood. If their wills can be broken at this time, they will never remember afterwards that they had a will. And for this very reason, the severity that is required will not have any serious consequences. Unquote from Mr. Sulzer. Back to Alice. Oh no, there's another little bit. Oh, sorry. I'm eager to finish with Mr. Sulzer. Sorry. There's another little bit. Just as, I'll have to edit all that out, huh? So it can sound smooth, which is not what I am. Anyway, especially with my echoing in my ears every second here. Just as soon as children, this is Mr. Sulzer, just as soon as children develop awareness, it is essential to demonstrate to them by word and deed that they must submit to the will of their parents. Obedience requires children to, one, willingly do as they are told, two, willingly, this willingly is like that woman who's been beaten unconscious, she's real willing to do what she's told, willingly refrain from doing what is forbidden, and three, accept the rules made for their sake. Unquote from Mr. Sulzer. Thank goodness we're done with him. Now this is Alice's reply. It is astonishing that this pedagogue had so much psychological insight over 200 years ago. Not so much, Alice, when you consider this is the same mess and it's continued unabated ever since we got today. It's the same stuff. Continuing, it is in fact true that over the years, children forget everything that happened to them in early childhood. Quote, they will never remember afterwards they had a will, unquote, to be sure. But unfortunately, the rest of the sentence, quote, the severity that is required will not have any serious consequences, unquote, is not true. The opposite is the case. Throughout their professional lives, lawyers, politicians, psychiatrists, physicians, and prison guards must deal with these serious consequences, usually without knowing their cause. And I would argue, I think she's referring to that their work requires coping with folks who were traumatized and tortured as children. But I would extend these consequences to those very professionals she's referring to, must deal with these serious consequences, and I'm arguing within themselves, no less. This is a class system, and we are all taught this method. Continuing, the psychoanalytical process takes years to work its cautious way back to the roots of the trouble. But when successful, it does, in fact, bring release from symptoms. And my interjection, we're going to be, again, as I said in an earlier show, figuring out how to apply the techniques that she refers to with the individual to our group process as we come together to plan the future we need and build our own individualities, regain our authentic selves, soul sufficiency. Continuing, laypersons repeatedly raise the objection that there are people who had a demonstrably difficult childhood without becoming neurotic, whereas others who grew up in apparently favorable circumstances became mentally ill. This is supposed to be proof of an innate predisposition and thus a refutation of the importance of parental influence. The Sulzer passage helps us to understand how this error can and is meant to arise on all levels. And of course it's meant to. Of course all this is intentional. Arise on all levels of society. Neuroses and psychoses are not direct consequences of actual... I'm trying to get in front of my own echo here. This is making me silly, and this isn't fair to you guys who are not here to have me get silly. So what does this mean? I'm sure that's the intent, to make me cut this as short as possible. Slowing down. Neuroses and psychoses are not direct consequences of actual frustrations, but the expression of repressed traumata. If primary emphasis is placed upon raising children so that they are not aware of what is being done to them or what is being taken from them, of what they are losing in the process, of who they otherwise would have been and who they actually are. And if this is begun early enough, then as adults, regardless of their intelligence, they will later look upon the will of another person as if it were their own. How can they know that their own will was broken, since they were never allowed to express it? Yet something one is not aware of can still make one ill. If, on the other hand, children experience hunger, air raids, and the loss of their home, for instance, but in such a way that they feel they are being taken seriously and respected as individuals by their parents, then they will not become ill as a result of these actual traumata. There is even a chance for them to remember these experiences because they've had the support of devoted attachment figures and thus enrich their inner world. If any of you were listening to the reading we did in preparation for reading Miklos Nesley's Auschwitz, a Doctor's Eyewitness account, it was an excerpt from Dreams of Trespass. And if you could go back and listen to that excerpt from that book and check out if you heard that excerpt, I wonder if you were as astonished as I was by the richness of her memories of being a little girl during the rise of fascism, the spread of fascism across Europe. And she was writing from the perspective of Morocco. Anyway, I mentioned that as illustration of Avalis's point, that if we are respected as babies, as infants, if we're allowed to hang on to ourselves, our thought begins to develop early. We don't lose our early experiences.